Noah Henning on the weather.
No.
Where it's always hot, because so am I.
Wow.
It's always mostly cloudy with a chance of showers overnight. High of 65 degrees.
Oh, wow. That sounded great.
That did sound great.
Hey, Jody.
Hi. You wanna start? You wanna open?
Are you gonna do you gonna play us in?
Welcome to the Between Two Beards podcast, a Bloomsburg Christian Church podcast to get to know your brothers and sisters in Christ. Some who have been following Jesus for decades and others who are just beginning their walk with him. We are a family united by the saving grace of Jesus. And we are your hosts, Mike,
Noah,
and I'm Chad.
All right. Welcome, everybody, back to the Between Two Beards podcast. We actually have all three of us here today. We've got Mike and Chad and myself. I'm Noah. But actually, we have Mike here with his wife, Jody, because they are the ones that are between two beards today.
Hmm. Well, between one beard.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, Chad is always rocking the working man's 5 o'clock shadow.
That's right.
Going on.
The best I can do, people. All right, well, I don't know what's happening, but I'm up, I guess. Everyone looked at me. So, hey, guys, how are you today? So, we are happy to have you guys both on here today. We do know quite a bit about Mike, and we're going
to
learn.
You guys. I appreciate you guys having us on.
Yeah, you're welcome. And this is.
Didn't you? I think
you
booked
scheduled
it.
I
was a very hard sell. Right. Let me just tell you right now.
Normally, I tell Mike, this isn't about you, but this time it is, so
yes!
I don't know how this is going to go. But, no,
wait,
we're...
Jody here, too?
We're, are you,
just ignore
done?
Me.
Are you done? Okay.
Sorry. It's your show. I'm sorry. Your show.
Thank you. Okay. So, most of you know a lot about Mike, and he's shared... We're going to get into a few other things with him, but we're here to also talk about Jody and find out more about Jody and who she is, and we're excited about that, and if anybody has had the opportunity to spend any time with her... you're going to know that she's a great person. She's super creative, and she can she is the mastermind behind most of our VBS props and decorations, and she just has a gifting that God's given her. So we're going to find out where some of that came from, but let's start with Jody, ladies first.
Mm-hmm.
So growing up, you grew up in the Bloomsburg area?
False. I did. Wow.
Okay, I didn't say born. We're going to get there.
Should I start from there?
Yeah, sure.
Beginning. I was born in Seoul, South Korea. I was adopted at 7 months old, and we lived in Hatfield. So it was like the Lansdale, people call it the Philadelphia area, but it's just like an hour away from there. We moved to Bloomsburg when I was seven. My mom grew up here, so we moved back. Actually into her parents' house, and yeah, I was here, been here ever since.
So you moved back, I didn't realize you didn't live in Bloomsburg from the time you were adopted, so when you moved back at seven, what was that like for a seven-year-old to move from, I know back in that day, it's diversity, we lived in the Philly suburbs, so diversity was a little bit more, but now all of a sudden you're moving back to Bloomsburg, it's a pretty predominantly white community. So what was that like for a seven-year-old going to Bloomsburg middle school?
Jody didn't know she was Asian.
Well,
still not convinced. I went to school with, it's funny because my mom had a best friend who had a nephew who was also adopted from South Korea around the same age. He was a little bit older than me, but we were in the same grade. So we ended up going to the school together, but we were the only Asian kids there. But it was never something that kind of stood out to me. Like, I didn't realize, I mean, I obviously realized I looked different, but it wasn't like a big deal. Like, no one really made fun of me any more than my parents did. So I was desensitized very early. So I have no problems making Asian jokes towards myself. Or with anyone else making them towards me, which happens fairly frequently.
They were from my husband. Ready for me?
Yeah.
So seventh grade, moved back. Then what? So what is your relationship, I guess, at that point in your life and your family's life? I mean, at that point, you don't really have a choice. But what was in with church and religion and those types of things?
Yeah. So I was raised in a Christian home. We went to church every Sunday. Went to youth group. My parents were very involved in church. They ran VBS before we moved. And my dad was on the church that we grew up had, like, a board of trustees instead of, like, elders. So he was on that. So always very involved. When we moved here, we went to Methodist church. I was in the choir, youth group, Sunday school. And then after all of, like, high school and college, came back and I was in the bell choir and just did a lot of stuff like that. But it was kind of like, I wouldn't say, it was a little bit deeper than surface level. I mean, you know, we did the church thing. We didn't, I wouldn't say we talked about religion a whole lot, but it was like interwoven in things, but it wasn't like a super deep, like I didn't have a really deep relationship with God. So that came later in life.
So you go to Bloom, you graduate from Bloomsburg High School.
Yeah.
And then what did you do after that?
I went to Shippensburg University for computer science. I did that for 3 years, and I found out that I was not good at that at all. And it was coming up on the last semester of junior year, and I started to panic because going into senior year, you have to do, like, a big project and stuff, and there was, like, no way I was going to be able to do that. So I quickly switched majors and took a couple summer classes and then graduated with a Bachelor of Arts degree that is fairly useless. So then...
Samesies.
Yeah. So...
Well, you got something I don't have, though, so you're ahead of us, same. Mike and I. Yeah.
So I work at Geisinger. I am an administrative assistant in the Heart and Vascular Institute. Currently open to new jobs if anyone would like to hire me. I would love to sit behind a computer and not interact with people.
Your current boss is so nice to your husband. Like,
he is great.
He
love
is.
Him.
The people that I work with are fantastic, and they are the main reason that I'm still there.
All right. How about you? Well, Mike, let's go to you. So we know a little bit of your story. You grew up in the church.
I did. I grew up. I guess this is funny coming off of the Sunday where I preached and kind of went through it, but... Just to recap a little bit, yeah, I grew up in a Christian home, Christian family. God was everything and all things Williams family. That came first, and then everything came second. And when I went to Southern Columbia High School, I was getting into my upper years in high school where I had to figure out what's next. I didn't know what's next. I knew that God had called me in and that I was willing to go wherever God wanted me to go, and I wasn't sure what that was going to be. I was a baseball player. I loved baseball, and I knew that I wasn't smart enough to get a scholarship for grades, but I was good enough to get a scholarship for baseball. However, I did know right around my freshman, sophomore year, I wanted to go to a Bible college. And getting a baseball scholarship into a Christian school was something that was non-existent and very hard for secular coaches to understand. When I said, when they wanted to come see me, I said, "You're wasting your time because I'm not coming to your school." And I had a couple different coaches from Christian college to come see me. And then my senior year, I still wasn't sure. My senior year, Nyack College in New York City came, and then they took me and went to New York City, which was awesome. And my parents were convinced, like, hey, they offered you a scholarship. This is where you were going. But they were part of, I think it's called the NAIA. At least that's what it was back in the 90s. And therefore, they didn't give full ride scholarships. They gave half scholarships. So I still had to figure out, you know, it was an out-of-state school. I still had to figure out how to pay for the other half. And I still wasn't convinced. And then I went to Langhorne, Pennsylvania on a whim, where Philadelphia Bible College at the time was. And I went down there and I just felt like, oh my gosh, this is where God's calling me. They had a baseball team. They had no scholarship. In fact, they weren't even sure that I was going to be able to come to school. I had to take a test. And I got enough of a passing grade to get on academic probation my freshman year. But I said to my parents, this is where God's calling me. And my parents said, no. You worked your whole life because you want to play baseball, and they're giving you all this money. And you know, I'd given a verbal yes. I didn't sign anything yet, and it was getting close, and I was just not convinced. And I don't know what it was, honestly, other than the fact that I just felt strongly. And my parents, these Bible-believing creatures that raised this kid to be what I was being, were like starting to back out and be like, wait a second, this can't be it, right? Because this is what your dream was. This is what you worked hard at. And I just said, I don't know what to tell you. And my mom and dad were coming home from a funeral in Allentown, and that's when she says she heard the audible voice of God, let him go. She heard it three times. And she came home, and she hugged me, and she cried. She goes, I do think you're supposed to go to PCB. And so that's where I went to college. That's where I didn't finish college.
Well, and so you went to college.
I did.
And then you met a lady.
I did.
And so on the last podcast, we talked with the Flynns, and we talked about their story and the redemption, how right. God redeems things.
Yeah, so I did. I met a lady my second semester. I met a lot of ladies, let's be honest. PCB had a 16-to-1 ratio of guy to girl, and I went, God, right? Am I right? But, you know, my second semester, there was one that had caught the eye, and we started, you know, dating, and 5 months later, we were engaged, and 8 months later, we were married right after our fourth semester. And we were very young when we moved to Catawissa, and then we ended up going back to school for a semester. And that's when we found out she was pregnant with child number one. And then life got really real. And that's kind of, and that is why I didn't finish. You know, it was like, okay, now we have to like have a job. So I started working all kinds of crazy jobs, and like people like to laugh. You know, I was working in construction. I worked as a vet tech. I've worked as a CEF director for a nonprofit in Bucks County. And that's ultimately where I got to, where I kind of found my niche when I was finally, when I was in the Philadelphia area. And then I was taken from that into being a food and beverage manager at the Mukunji Ski Resort, Bear Creek. Bear Creek. It's been a minute. I only did it for a year.
we'll get to that. No,
but in my defense, they went out of business. It was a third party. The third party went out of business. It got sold by somebody else. They said we're laying off all the managers. And from there, I went to Massachusetts. And along the way, I had child number one, child number two, child number three. And while we were in Massachusetts, this marriage was dwindling. It was not going well. You know, I felt like, you know, look, I believed everything about the Bible, and I didn't feel like I had grounds for divorce. So I kept trying to make this work, and it was hard. It was very hard. You know, I went through a lot of emotional abuse as a man, because it was like I was doing all my job. I was taking care of these kids, and I just felt like I was failing in all aspects of my life, and which is why ultimately I left CEF, because I felt like, you know, God called me into this ministry, and this ministry was growing into areas where I needed to really devote time that I didn't have. At that point, we had all three were born. We had the third child, maybe was on its way or being born, and I just like, I can't do it, because the demands at home were so great, and I was almost cheating the ministry, and that wasn't feeling good. So that's why I had gotten out of the ministry, and and it didn't go well from there. You know, we took this job in Massachusetts chasing the money, thinking, you know, they offered me more money than I could possibly imagine, and thinking that was going to be what put this family back together, and it just made it worse. And finally, my contract with that I had taken with the was Pioneer College Caterers. It was a Christian food and beverage company, which I didn't know existed, but they do, and they are an amazing company. They obviously do Bible colleges. I had worked for them when I was in PCB, when I was working in the kitchen, and didn't even realize, because I didn't understand third party food and beverage companies when I was, you know, 18, 19. So my contract came, and I didn't know what to do. They wanted my salary warranted going to a different college, a bigger college. And the only thing that was like lining up with my salary was in Kentucky. And that was a hard no for me. It was also a hard no for them. My ex-wife at the time was working for the same company. Actually, I hired her to be my chef. That was probably a terrible idea, hindsight 2020, but here we are. They were keeping her on as the head chef there because they could afford her, but they just couldn't afford me, and they had to bring somebody else in. And it just kind of left me out in the middle of nowhere, and I didn't know what to do. And this is where, you know, my relationship with God was, I mean, I was struggling real hard with God. And I was like, God, you know, I've been married to this one for 10 years, and I've been beaten down. And I can't take it anymore. In fact, I wrote the suicide letter. I was there. And I was ready to just end it because at this point, I'm jobless. I hate my life. I hated everything about my life. I hated. And I just felt like God was saying, hang on, it's going to get better. And I didn't see any end in sight. And Christmas Eve of that year, we were driving to Pennsylvania. And that's when I learned that she was having a relationship with the guy that they replaced me with. Which there was a sigh of relief that kind of blew over me. I was like, oh, I can get out of this. And I did. And it was hard. And that was the next couple of years were very hard. And that was where I even referenced on Sunday. I said, you know, I took my life back. After I gave it to God, I took it back and said, we're not gonna do it here anymore. That in my mind didn't work, although God had a plan. And I just had to be willing to buckle in, be patient, go through the hard storm. I eventually got there, and I did. And then I went to California, and then I came home after working for a nonprofit. And I don't know. I feel like I'm talking too much. Yeah. Before I get all of that, like that's a whole other thing.
So we'll. Yeah. We'll. All right. We'll cut you. We're cutting you off.
Like,
you're cut off
this?
Right now. Right. I don't know if you breathe the whole time you talk, but
I'm trying to get out a lot of information all at once.
So Jody, after you graduated from college, mm-hmm. So we'll kind of catch you up to where Mike is. So what did you do after college up until, you know, you met Mike?
The best day of your life.
Well, easy.
I floated around a little bit. I had a job at Staples, and then, like I said, I went to Geisinger. During
for
this,
your mom.
Oh, that's right. I
my
did.
Goodness.
I worked
what'd
with
you,
my mom.
What'd you do with your mom?
She was a manager at Head Start, which is a free preschool program for low-income families. So I was like the office manager for 3 years, I think, with her. She retired, and I got the job at Geisinger at the same time. During this time, the church that I grew up in was kind of going through some stuff. So my parents decided to leave, and they went to the Lutheran church. So I would kind of go with them occasionally, but wasn't really kind of committed, just kind of living my life, not really having any type of relationship at the time until my dad passed away in 2018. And I had seen the relationship.
Was that sudden?
It was. Okay. Yeah. Sudden, unexpected. And I had seen the relationship that he had cultivated with God later in his life. And it was kind of like that took me. I was like, I need that. I need that in my life. And it was, I really needed that to get through that time. I did.
He had a heart attack.
Yeah. Well, he went, yeah. I mean, if you want to mince, cardiac arrest.
You work in a cardiology department. You don't have to big-league me on this.
Yeah.
For us laymen, I'm thinking about Chad.
Cardiac arrest is when your heart just stops suddenly. Mm. A heart attack is when the blood can't get to your heart, I think. Mm. I've been there for way too long not to know that.
Now that everybody's asleep.
Yeah. You wanted to correct this and then drop an I think at the end.
I think. I just know cardiac arrest is when
she's
your heart
just being
stops.
Humble.
Cardiac arrest is like the electrical.
She humbly says.
Humbly says. Y'all are wrong.
Humble and kind.
So you, that was 2018. So yeah. You were what, mid-20s?
It was a week before my 28th birthday.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So I slowly got back into it. The big thing where I connect with God is through music. Hmm. So I was starting to listen to a lot of worship music. And I was kind of like at that point in my life when I met Mike. And, you know, he said he was from a Christian family. So I just kind of assumed that it was kind of similar to what I grew up in. And it is very not similar.
Right.
She met my mother.
Yes. And yeah, the first birthday that I had with you, they gave me a Bible. And it was great. But yeah, I think that really pushed me to want to have a deeper relationship.
So
I didn't know if you had, I was looking
if you wanted something.
So, no, it's so, like I'm in the audience to the Chad show.
Well, I don't want that, but
it's great.
That's what I do.
So so you guys are now Mike's back in this area.
So I had to. I was in California. I was working for Campfell Productions, which is an anti-bully assembly program. Yeah. The irony is great.
I know.
My friends all said, "You're going into an anti-bully company. You bully all of us." I'm like, I know.
Who better to teach it though?
That's what I'm saying, right? So I was out there, and I just loved it. They loved me out there. You know, I was an on the road presenter in the schools, which was fun. And then they kept me for the summer, and I actually ended up hiring the following year's team and working with my boss and very closely. I was working in sales. I was working in all part of the Campfell life.
So before you go any farther than that, you said you had stepped. You and God had a different of opinions.
God and I, yes.
So once you get back to California, where are you in your faith walk at that point?
Again? So right before this, I knew something had to change. I was working for Wise Markets. And I hated working for Wise, but I was very good at the job. And I got hired for a third-party company outside that does the high schools and elementary schools lunch programs. They wanted to hire me to be the Danville person because the Danville person was stepping down. So I was like, great, I'm getting out of Wise. And I needed to get out of Wise because I was in a very bad relationship there, and I had to get away from it somehow, some way, and getting out of Wise was my solution. So I took this job. It was also a better job for me. It was also closer to home. I was living in Catawissa, Danville. I'm also working that school teacher hours, which is summer's off. It's all I heard, really. Summer's off. Where do I sign? So, but then Danville went on strike. And then like, oh, we'll put you down in Lion Mountain for a little bit. And then Lion Mountain went on strike. And now they have a bunch of employees that they're paying that aren't working. And they put as many as they could. I think I went to Berwick. I went to Warrior Run. And I could just see the writing on the wall. They don't know what to do with me. And their strikes have no end in sight. I'm contract. They have to pay me no matter what. And at this point, no matter what is, we got to send them home. I saw it. I just saw it. And I was like, God, why did you take me out of a really good job? Into this job, which was supposed to be great and just a life changer for me. And I just felt like God saying, do you trust me? Do you finally trust me? And I'm like, okay, God, I do trust you, but you got to help a brother out. And sure enough, it was a Friday afternoon. They had called me and they said, instead of going to Berwick on her, I don't even know where I was at that time, come to our office. And their office was in Danville. And I was at my parents' house, and I said, listen, I'm going to get fired or laid off on Monday. That's what this is about. So pray for that. And sure enough, I got laid off, and I came home, and I was with my parents. And they said, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know, but I think God's got something going on. I ended up working for Geisinger for a year, and it was in that year where I found this thing called Campfell Productions in Los Angeles, and I just felt like God was pulling me there. And I'm like, And God needed to get me out of the area. He's like, you just, I was building this relationship back with him. And, you know, it's funny. During that time, I had gone to BCC a few times. My best friend had gone to BCC his whole life. When we met in high school, he was going to BCC when it was downtown. And then he was part of the transition over here into this building. And I had gone. I met Pastor Eric a few times. I actually played on the BCC softball team with Don Price is our coach, and we coined the phrase Donnie Softball, and it was fun, and I loved it. But, you know, and I was also going to CCC a little bit at the time because my buddy Derek, who I bullied in high school, he was the pastor of the church. And, you know, I was like, you know, kind of going there a little bit too. And, but, you know, I wasn't committed. Like, I was like halfway committed. Like, okay, God, like, I'm kind of halfway in. I'm more in than out, but I'm not all the way in. And this was God telling me to go to California. He goes, I need you to get all the way in. This doesn't make any sense because I was about to make a very little amount of money to do this. And I'm like, and I'm about to sell everything. It was literally, you need to sell everything you have, give up your apartment, and just follow me. And I was like, okay, God, we'll do this again. And I did. And it was the best move I ever made. And I just loved it. They wanted to keep me. They wanted me to make me a manager. And I was really working towards that. And that was kind of be the plan. And then my grandfather died in January of 16. And I came home for the funeral. And while I was home, I saw my mom. And my mom was dying. Like, she just dying. And you just knew she's not long for this world.
Did you know? So when did she get sick?
So she got sick probably about 50. It was shortly after I took the Campbell job.
Okay.
So it was I went out in California in August of 2016. And it was about in the fall, November. It was December. December is when she had her first surgery. And because I was actually in the Allentown area doing schools. And then I came home and the elders of the church came to their house and they laid hands on her. Hmm. And because we knew that she had always been sick like our whole life. She fought. I'm going to mess these up.
Scleroderma.
There's a
pulmonary
hypertension. She just was always sick. She's always dealt a bad hand. You would never know it because that woman loved God like there's no tomorrow. And she said, this is the way God made me, and this is what I'm going to deal with. And God's got a plan, and God's got a purpose, even for her and her failing body. So I didn't know how bad it got because I wasn't home to see it.
And she had cancer, right?
Her mom had cancer.
Yeah,
but my mom, it was the pulmonary.
It was scleroderma.
I'm sorry, the scleroderma. It was such a fog for me. I was so glad to have Jody through that time. But that ultimately got her. Mm. And it was always gonna get her. It was just a matter of when. And she was hooked up to an oxygen machine that she carried around on her back for like 5-6 years, and it didn't slow her down. She golfed with that thing on. Like, it was crazy. Like, nothing slowed her down. But then she got slowed down. And when I came home in 18, I'm sorry, I think I said 19, in 17, I don't know.
16, your grandfather passed, you said 16. I think
16,
it was 17.
He died in January of 17. And I came home for the funeral and I saw her. And that was when I saw, ooh, I hadn't seen her in a while. And that's when I knew this is not gone great. And I talked to my dad about it, and, you know, he kind of got real with me, and I didn't want to miss the last few years of her life. I just felt like I was going to regret that. I have a very good relationship with my mom. I have an amazing relationship with my mom. My brothers will tell you I'm the favorite. They're not wrong. but, you know, I that's why I had to come home.
So you moved home in what year then?
So I officially came home in May of 2018.
Okay.
I had... while I was in California, I applied and got hired to be a manager of AMC Movie Theater in Williamsport. And I started Memorial Day weekend. Hmm. So I had come home the week prior to that. And by Memorial Day, I hadn't even met my boss. I just walked in and here I am. What are we doing?
Right.
So, but yeah, was doing that. And that's where we get to the... Well, I'll let you guys ask the question.
So then you like trivia?
Oh, man, I love trivia.
So you're out one trivia night?
I was out one fateful trivia night. And I was on a trivia team my whole life, no.
Beautiful South Korean woman.
Oh, so
sitting
beautiful.
Across from the...
Stunning.
Was it Cracker Barrel or Scoreboard?
This is Scoreboard. At the She's Scoreboard. Sitting by the bathrooms.
And let's start this. Let's ask this question. So, Jody, you heard him long before you saw him.
Oh,
the last.
That night in the bar. So
I don't actually remember...
But did you hear it? Did you hear that laugh?
Oh yeah,
she way wanted the, what, did, the what was your cackling was?
Yeah, like what was your first thought
Go ahead,
when you heard it?
Sit still.
What was it?
loud and obnoxious.
Yeah, amen. So, yeah.
Very proud.
Yeah.
But then you guys, so you guys start to meet and bond over
trivia. So here's what happened. I'm on a trivia team. I was on a trivia team since 2012, and we were awesome. And then I went away to California, and then they weren't awesome. And then Applebee's stopped doing trivia, so we stopped going to trivia. I ended up, because of a friend, said, they said, hey, they do this trivia at Scoreboard. Why don't you check it out? I checked it out. I was like, oh, it's different, but it's cool. So then I brought my loud, obnoxious friends to this trivia at the Scoreboard. And we are loud, and we are obnoxious, and we are dumb. But we're the fun team.
Right.
So I was working for AMC Movie Theater, and the Bloomsburg manager was sitting next to this beautiful South Korean woman. And I was like, whoa, as I was trying to go to the bathroom, because I had wing sauce on my hands.
Right. Tough.
And I had to pee. And I came out. I was like, oh, well, how you doing? And she's like, wow.
Is that really
you.
How it went?
No. Okay. I don't remember any of this. Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to keep going until you cut me off.
That's how it went in his head. It was probably more like his mouth.
Before I ever talked to him.
So there was no talking that night. That was all fabrication.
I talked to everybody but her.
But her?
Yeah, I don't remember anything about that.
I used Catherine. Catherine was the one that I knew. And actually, the other manager was there, too. And I was, like, talking to them. They were really, really smart. I mean, they were the smartest team in the room. And I just kept looking at her. I'm like, you gotta introduce me to your friend or no? And they wouldn't. So we just kept coming back. And then I started working my way. And somebody yelled her name. I was like, oh, because now I got her name. Her name is Jody. So I remember going, hey, Jody. And she just kind of looked over like, oh, it's right. It's her name. I had no follow-up.
No. Yeah.
And then he ate a wing.
Yeah. The wing in mouth.
Yeah. This went on for like several months.
Yeah.
It did. And it was like, it was a will they, won't they kind of, maybe we're just going to be friends. Maybe we're, you know, we don't really know.
I also knew she was young. And I also knew that they had no idea how old I was.
No idea. Mm.
And so I was
afraid. He was on a team with an older couple who I thought were his parents.
Yeah.
Because I assumed that he was.
They are my parents' age.
Around my age.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. So.
Swing and a miss there.
Yeah.
Not by your age.
Right. And I knew that. And I was like, oh, man, I don't know. Because I didn't know how old she was, but I knew that she was definitely in her early 30s. At least that's what I was hoping.
I was not. I was still in my 20s.
Oh, my.
So then my buddy turned 40, and we were just celebrating at it there, and her friend asked me nonchalantly, how old are you? And I said, well, I'm 40. And she didn't believe me, so I had to give her my driver's license. And then that's when...
I remember getting that text message that night. You know Mike is going to be 40 because you weren't 40 yet.
Oh.
No. You turned 40 because you were in that...
Well, that was just 39 because I'm older than Dave. Sure.
Yeah. I heard you could die from being 40. That's old.
You have no idea.
So then how did the first... Well, I'm going to ask Jody this because you're not going to tell me
I'll tell
truth.
You. I'll tell you the truth.
Not the truth.
No.
You're going to fabricate it, make it more beautiful than it really is. Maybe.
It's gorgeous.
So... Jody, how did he ask you out for the first date?
So there's
I'm sure it was beautiful.
This is controversial.
Was it before or after he licked all the wing sauce off his fingers?
It was controversial because I wouldn't say that we went on. It wasn't like he asked me out on a date.
He tricked you.
We were friends.
We started going to trivia
together.
And then our teams would sit together. And then we would go out to like dinner on nights that there wasn't trivia.
As friends.
And then we were just like kind of constantly talking. And we saw each other probably every single day.
Because we're friends.
For probably 3 months. And in that time there was a, hey, what are we doing here?
Because she asked me that.
I didn't, because my friends were all pressuring me into like, are you guys dating or like what's going on? So I asked him and he's like, oh, I'm in love with you. And
I did. Whoa!
Totally makes sense.
Now we're who's fabricating?
Now he was like,
I believe you.
He was like, kind of like wanting to pursue a relationship, but we were taking it like super, super slow.
What? Because I wanted to keep it super, super slow.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. So after about 3 months of seeing each other every single day, we became official.
September 2nd.
Of what year was that?
In 2019.
2019.
Was after a
and your mom.
Concert.
So your mom.
It was not.
What year did your Mike did your mom pass
2021.
Away? Okay, so you got to know Mike's mom.
I did.
So yeah. How you talked? You kind of alluded to it earlier, but like when you they for your first like birthday with them, they gave you a Bible. So like walking into that.
Yeah.
How like. My wife's family is like when we would get together as family, we go, we look at each other, we'd eat, and then we're like, all right, gotta go. Like Jen's family is like, we get together and we're together all day long and we have a great time. And I think Mike's family is more that way. So for me, it was like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, it was kind of intimidating because he also has a large family, you know, the three brothers and then all of the kids.
Two brothers.
Three of you all together.
Oh.
And so they started implementing family dinners back in because of the jobs that he was in. He hadn't really been able to go to Sunday dinners. So he eventually got a job where he was working like normal Monday through Friday. So we would go to those. And that was basically the same thing. You're together all day and you're having chicken, rice, and corn and playing board games. And
debating the Bible.
Debating the Bible. And it's all very intense. And still makes me feel slightly unknowledgeable, but it's gotten better.
My mom had been wanting me to get back into the dating market, and I was like, I just can't do it. I just couldn't do it. I didn't want to get married. I never wanted to get married again. I didn't want to date again. I just me and God. That's good enough for me. And Jody, to be fair, also wasn't looking for anything again. She was just very content being single.
Loved it.
It was very important to me that.
That's good. So you got what year did so you knew Mike's mom before she had passed away?
Yeah, my mom passed away in June of 21. We got married in October 21. She really wanted to make it to the wedding. Mm-hmm. She really did. Really, really wanted to. She was a part of. She got to see the venue. Mm-hmm. She got to be there a couple times with us. We knew there was no way she was making it. I mean, she wanted, and she knew too, but she just really, she loved Good Jody. Try. Oh man, did she love Jody. She loved Jody when I told her that I was going to date again and I met this girl and I think she's pretty great. And we talked a lot about her. And then, my mom got lost. Was that the one she got lost on riding the bike? We had to go find her.
What?
She wasn't home.
She was hanging out at the neighbor's house.
No one knew where she was.
That was the first time I met her.
That was the first time you met her. Yeah. She was out back with the neighbors. And she just fell in love with Jody. And she really loved Jody. And she loved Jody's mom. Jody's mom became part of the family pretty quick as well. I forgot to tell my family that Jody was adopted, so they were expecting to meet an Asian woman.
Right.
And this, you know, old like white lady shows up.
Right. Clearly, her dad was the Asian woman.
Right.
Clearly.
Right.
And they were like, "Nope, not that either."
Nope.
Very Italian.
Were you guys able to incorporate your mom in your wedding at all? In a way.
Yeah, so we did because my best friend Dave died, who was supposed to be the best man at my wedding in August, 2 months after my mom had passed. So we had incorporated both of them and into the wedding. We had Jody set up a beautiful table that you saw when he first walked in, and then I actually had my buddy's son Carson was my best man. And then for my mom, we did instead of doing the traditional mother-son dance, I actually danced with her mom and she danced with my dad.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, and her dad was at that table as well, right? You had put Frank there, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I didn't realize that Dave died that close to your wedding.
Oh, yeah.
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 So, and then Jody, when did you find out that your mom was sick?
It was July of 22.
Yep.
And she thought that she was just having some like eye problems. She had developed double vision. So she was going through a bunch of testing. She went to the eye doctor. She went to the dentist because she thought maybe it was an impacted tooth that was causing it. And she went through all these tests, and it was Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
It was Labor Day where we got the test results, and they said that they saw something that didn't look good. They wanted her to come be admitted to the hospital. And then from there, it was just like this whirlwind of test after test and diagnoses. And she did chemo one time, and then she went to a rehab facility. And then she had died within like a week. Mm-hmm. So it was from the time she went into the hospital, it was about a month. It was just like super fast. And it was tough.
Yeah.
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 But
so
we got through it.
Yeah. And you guys have, and you've been married 3 years, right?
Yeah.
It will be.
3 years. I mean, that's, most people don't go through that much in a lifetime. Like, seriously, that
yeah, that's a lot to go through in your first 2 years of marriage.
Of God and in your marriage, that shows where He's placed in your marriage. Because honestly, I have a friend of mine that was in, man, he was late 20s, and he had lost his dad, his mom first with cancer, and then his dad had a massive heart attack and died, and he was 30, and he is not the same person.
Yeah.
And he's walked away from God and all that. And it's hard to see and watch. And so to see where you guys are, even though it's hard. And there's a lot of hard days I can't even imagine. And so God redeems, and he does so many good things through that, even though it doesn't feel that way. But,
and, you know, God really shielded us even through all that. By the time, you know, her mom had passed, I had actually already been on staff here.
Mm-hmm.
I had just come on staff here, and we really, the people that surrounded us, and really even Jody, through it all, from this church, was just, it was good that we were here. Yeah. We were right where we needed to be, and God made sure, like, look, you know, I got you guys. And He really did, because what a time. I mean, what a time.
Yeah, because we weren't sure. When we got together, we were going to 3 different churches.
Well, but COVID happened too.
Well,
So it got real weird for a hot minute. Mm-hmm. And then churches were starting to come back. As our relationship was at that point, churches were starting to have church again. And then we're like, okay, you know, where are we going to go? And that's when we started to like,
we tried a couple different places, and he kept saying, I think we should go to BCC.
I did.
I was like, I don't want to go there because Eric was my principal, and that's weird. So I just kept kind of like kicking it down the line, and we actually didn't make it here before.
Well, I had done the interview, and I'd done the first interview. I talked with Eric and Keith, and then I'd done the interview with the elder board, and I said to her, I was like, you need to go to a service before they hadn't offered the job. I said, but in case they do, you need to go. And if you have any kind of inkling that this is not the place for us, I need to know, because we're not going to do this.
Yeah. And we came, we were kind of like incognito, kind of scoping it out. No one knew who we were. He was starting to say like, we're going to be hiring someone. We don't know who it is yet. And
yeah.
And we're like sitting there but now it was kind of everything that I was looking for in a church, just always sitting right here, and I never just kind of gave it a chance.
How was that week? Did anybody talk to you, like, between services? Like, how, anything that like stood out to you?
Well, Linda Cook came up and said hi to me, because she knew who I was. And then there was one other person I thought that I had knew from before had said hi.
Crystal.
Oh, it was Crystal Morelli. That's right. Mm-hmm. Crystal Morelli was here.
Yeah. We were kind of in and out pretty quickly.
And then we did. We tried to jet out.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to anybody. There was a really tall guy with a beard, jarringly handsome, coming after me.
So I want to back up just a little bit. So we talked, like I said earlier, we talked with David and last time, and he had a marriage that failed. and how God redeemed that marriage. So with your first marriage, what did God teach you about that first marriage that has made, because in their relationship, it's clear what they've learned in their life before when coming together, how it strengthened their marriage together. Mm-hmm. So for you, how did God change, teach you in your first marriage to make this one stronger and better?
That saying God needs to be in the center of this is not just a saying. It's something that you say, you do, and you believe. Mm. And I made that very clear to her. And I did not. I was really young, too. I was really young. Yeah. I had no idea. And I got overwhelmed quick. And when things got bad, you know, we didn't cling to each other. We didn't cling to God. We went with what we knew, and we just fought. Mm. Jody and I obviously had gone through some stuff, and we clung to God, and we clung to each other. And then we had a really good foundation. I kept saying to her, you know, we have to have this strong foundation. That's why I was being a little facetious by saying we were just friends. I just wanted to be friends. I didn't want to go, hi, my name is Mike. Let's date. Let's get married. I wanted to know who she was, what she was about.
I don't think that would have worked either.
I mean, have you met me?
Well, that's what I would have worked.
We've also seen you eat wings.
Right.
That is true. I'll give you that. It's not great.
Sorry.
But that's what I wanted, and I wanted God to be at the... And I did not just say it. I actually meant it, and I actively pursued it. And I made sure that we were friends. I needed us to be friends. I wanted us to be friends. And then I wanted her to know that I take my relationship with God incredibly serious, because he brought me out of a storm like that I don't deserve. He redeemed me in ways that I'd never thought possible. And I wasn't going to go back to anything that I was going to move forward. So you're either with me or you're just going to be another one of my friends. And either way, I was fine with. But I really was hoping that she would be like, yeah, let's do this. And I tried to push her away. I also thought she was too, believe it or not, I thought she was way too good for me and out of my league.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
Yes, Noah and I will both confirm. Yes.
Okay, I thought maybe that'd be shocking to some people.
No, nobody's shocked by that.
And I tried to push her away. I tried real hard to push her away and push her out of this. And then she got real, real with me. And, then I got real, real back and said, look, we got to do this. We're going to do this right. And God's got to be at the center and always at the center. And that's the same even when this job came around. I said, look, our marriage is very important. Like, and I need to know where you're at on this. And I saw where I failed in the ministry before I failed the ministry and where I failed marriage. And we went and we talked all about that and what that looked like. And I said, I need you to be on board. I just need you to be on board.
So for both of you, not counting, like, BCC gave you a job. I got that. But okay. What else has this church given you to since you've been coming and active in this church?
Some really great friendships. I've often said that I've never had friends that love Jesus like I do now, and it's very refreshing, and it's nice to have people that have the same beliefs as you, that come alongside of you and just lift you up and be there for you. And that's the best thing that we could have gotten.
Yeah, because it's been deep and meaningful. And I'm looking at two of those guys that have just been with us and just, you know, the family, it's just been unbelievable. Like, it's been great. And for us, I mean, it has put us, like she just said, just surrounded by people that are like-minded and, you know, and have a vision for God and a passion for God in a way that we're not on an island feeling like we're alone. Yeah. You know, there's other crazy people out there just like us.
It's been nice. I know that you've been hanging out with my wife on Tuesday nights when they do Catalyst. You guys have been doing like verse mapping together. Mm-hmm. And I just know that seeing Ashley and Abigail get excited you know, because Abigail's like, oh, you're going to Catalyst tonight? She's like, that means Jody's coming over. and just yesterday, Abby has, because she watches me do my illustrations in an app called Procreate, and she has it on her iPad now. She wanted to show me what she had done, because she draws a lot of stuff that, you know, is in her interest. But yesterday, she did a verse mapping. She, like, did, like, the verse out and then did a couple of, like, little pictures around it and then started to do the mapping and stuff. And I was like, what is this? And she goes, it's a verse map, like Jody and Mom do. And I was like, ah, that's awesome. So we have appreciated you guys coming into this body as well, mm-hmm. because we really get kind of a different... Ash and I have been coming here for multiple years, and usually we get people like you guys who will come in and they'll be very, very great to have, like, a friendship that sparks up. And then Bloomsburg is a great feeder area, you know, because we have Geisinger, we have PPL, we've got a couple factories, we've got a university, and usually people start their careers here and then bolt. So, like, we've lost a lot of friends over the years, but having you guys be so invested and just seeing not only you take on the position and try to invest in rebuilding it as effectively as you have, but seeing your wife come on as, like, I mean, honest to goodness, like, you're unpaid number two. Like, she's doing so much behind the scenes with VBS and with you know, youth
and
group.
And she's carved her own lane, too,
which
I really, I loved. Yeah. Just watching her flourish in the production team.
Oh, I love having her up in
and the worship team. Yeah. Like, and she's really carved her own lane, and that's her thing. And she loves it, and she loves you guys. You guys are all great, and it's been awesome watching her just grow apart from me, alongside of me.
Jody, where's your creativity? Like, for all the stuff that you did last year with Bible school, and I know what you're working on for this year. Like, where's all that creativity come from? Like, is that something you've always just naturally had, or, like, where did that interest and come from?
Yeah, I've always kind of liked, like, the arts. I was contemplating going into school for graphic design, but I didn't have, like, the raw artistic talent.
It's not true. Your penmanship and calligraphy, just
I like to do crafts and things like that. And
Jody's also naturally great at everything she touches.
That's not true. I'm mediocre at several things.
You make a wonderful salad.
Right, you do. Oh, yes. And no, you somehow fix Mike. So, I mean, to his point, you do fix things. You do have a talent.
He didn't need fixing.
Okay, stop.
Polished. He's like a rock polished.
I'm like an onion. There's just layers.
Okay, Shrek.
So you just always have had that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say so.
It's obvious. And, like, last year, all the stuff, it was just crazy.
Yeah.
And we talk, like, Mike likes to be the center of attention, so.
No, I just naturally get there.
And so, with last year with Bible school, with him, but, like, with all the stuff that you guys do and people that have helped you with that, and that's such an important role that, to Noah's point, where, like, just to find your own niche and to be who you are in this church. It's hard when, it can be difficult when you're the second. You're not second, but you're looked upon as, okay, you're the
Mike's wife.
Yeah. Or the youth pastor's wife, and that you're somehow looked at as less, and you aren't. And I just see what you do and what you bring to this church, and it's such a blessing to have that be part, to have you be part of that. And you have so many gifts that you're quiet but mighty, I will say.
Amen to that.
Seriously, there is compartmentalized in my brain. You are a higher hierarchy than Mike.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
I really do love having you around, and I just can't wait to see what your talents are gonna do more. Because every time I turn around, there's something new. Like, you're making stuff for VBS, and then all of a sudden you're at my house doing these beautifully well-done typographic calligraphy works of art. And then all of a sudden you're up on stage doing acoustic guitar and singing. Like,
undiagnosed ADHD. I can't concentrate on one thing for too long.
Come on, you're talking to the originator. I'm the outbreak monkey for ADHD.
Okay.
Oh, it's contagious.
So you love concerts,
and
Mike does not. So
neither does Noah.
Yeah, I do. I love them. But so who's your because you said music is a way that you've connected over the years to God. Mm-hmm. So who's your band?
Oh, Phil Wickham.
Yeah.
For sure. Countdown's on.
I like Phil Wickham, too.
Not enough to go with your wife.
I went.
No, we we went.
This
we
isn't about you two guys right now. This is about Jody.
We didn't go to the concert, but we went. We drove halfway.
I'm going to the next one.
Yeah.
You all are.
I can't wait. But so Phil Wickham's your guy.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite song?
Wow, just putting me on the spot here.
How about it?
I really like, what's it called? It's from the new album.
Real
Creator. Creator. It's a little, it's not as well known.
I haven't heard
of
it.
But it's really, the bridge is amazing.
The bridge is the best part of any song. I learned that.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Mike.
I get told that a lot.
So
it's true.
Creator. That's the song. I'm going to look it up.
It's
typically where drum breakdowns are and stuff like that. It's always the bridge.
Yeah. So do you, what do you guys see for your future? Like where do you feel God's leading you to and next, or not out of this building necessarily, but like, what do you feel?
BCC South Carolina.
We just got home from vacation. I was talking to Eric. I said, I'm pretty sure that there's some place we're on the beach that needs a pastor if you have any hookups.
We were doing that last year. We were in San Diego. BCC definitely
West.
Needs out here in
BCC
San Diego.
West. Yeah. Do you have anything on your heart where you feel like, maybe God's asking me to go there?
I don't, probably not.
That's okay. I
you know, it's funny because I've always been one to go. And Florida was always the destination of where, okay, after this, I'm going to Florida. Okay, after this, I'm going to Florida. Okay, after my mom dies, I'm going to Florida. And then I married a girl who can't stand the heat. I'm never going to Florida.
Never going to Florida.
So, but you know, God has always brought me back to this area, and I think this area, while is a great area to live, and has a lot of wonderful things about this area, it really needs God, and it really needs Jesus. You know, and I think our greatest area of need in our life is here. And I can't get that out of my head. And while I think the other places are cool, and there's a lot of other places I'd love to live, I just keep feeling like God keeps bringing me back here for a reason. Right. And, you know, and it's one of those things like, okay, God, you know, we're all called. We're all called for different things. God created us to do different, you know, what God created me to do. He didn't create Jody to do, but then he brought us together to help us be able to do it together. And everybody has, you know, some people are called to Africa. Some people are called to, you know, the islands of Australia and the islands of the Philippines. But some people are also called to America. And even when I was working in CEF of Bucks County, that was always my thing. Like, God called me here because the people in the Philadelphia area need Jesus. You know, at the time, my brother was in Johnny was in the Army and Nathan was in the Air Force. And I was as a missionary. And I said, well, look, we're all in an army. I'm in God's army. And this is the battlefield. It's right here. And now here we are. I'm home. And I do love this area a lot. And I see our battlefield here. And God's not done. There's a lot to do.
I think too often we think we have to go somewhere else
Amen.
To do God's work.
Yep.
Like, oh, I have to go overseas, or I have to go here, I have to go there. But this community needs Jesus.
Yeah.
It really does. And
I look at our churches and some of the churches in our area, and it's just, you know, if we go to the back way to from our house to the Buckhorn area, you know, there's a church. It's a church. And they're clearly open to anything and everything under the sun. And it's like there's so many churches like this that's like you would think, oh, I'm going to church. I'm going to heaven. It's just that doesn't how that. That's not how that works.
Is that the sign broken message inside church? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. This area really does. I mean, when we moved here in 2006, Ash and I had like a 2-year period where we fell away fully. We didn't like, you know, start going heathen, but like we weren't praying, we weren't reading, we weren't doing anything because we couldn't find a body to plug into. Like we were younger married couple, younger Christians, not very strong, and we just could not find a place. And we kept trying to find a place to go. And we had to go all the way out to Elysburg. And we worship with your family for a bit at Elysburg Alliance. And briefly, like maybe 3 or 4 months. But then the drive was just too much because we were both traveling a lot with work. But it took us a long time to find BCC. And we just kept finding church bodies that were not adhering to Scripture with what they were preaching and what they were ministering. So there's just, that's a lot of it in this area. We have an abundance of church bodies in this area, but how much of the greater Bloomsburg area is getting truth on Sunday?
Right, I mean, quantity, but where's the quality?
Right, yeah. This is a massive missions field.
Yeah.
We do talk about, the 5 digits of kids that show up every single fall. And, you know, and they're here all year long that basically don't have anything up there except for small ministries like Crew.
Yeah.
It's a massive mission field in this area. And, we're happy to have you here for 100% I got to know you over the past year or so and got to see your heart, got to see your warts, got to see all your problems came out on the...
My what?
Your warts! Your personality warts, your quirks, your bad things.
Your laugh.
You've never heard that idiom before? Is idiom a new word for you? I know that you couldn't get a scholarship.
You just called me an idiot?
Yeah, you couldn't get a scholarship. Academic probation over here.
Well, hey, whoa, easy.
Whoa, I took the SATs 4 times.
I also started college at academic probation, just so you know.
Oh, okay.
That's just not what his gifts is.
Gifts is.
Oh, ouch.
What
ouchy.
Is your, that's not what my gifts is.
Moving on.
Moving on.
Is this over?
Almost.
Grammarly
under
for
5.
Pastors now.
We got under 5.
Do I have a countdown?
So what, one thing, when Mike, I remember the moment, I just want to somehow bring this moment up. So the moment that Jody got baptized.
Oh, yes.
What was that like for you?
Man, that was amazing. That was awesome.
Because, like, it makes me, like, just thinking about it makes me emotional because I remember watching you two embrace afterwards.
Well, that was on her.
Right, but just, like, it didn't, you could have, if she would have gotten you totally drenched, it didn't matter. It was just, there was something special in that moment. Mm-hmm. I remember watching it, so I just wanted to kind of ask, like, what was that for both of you that day?
I know for me, the lead up to that, so it's not something that I had ever said to her. Or talked about. Now, she asked me a couple questions, and I would answer her questions about baptism, but that was between her and God. Mm-hmm. And I never wanted it to be, well, Mike thinks I need to do this, so I should do this. I actually tiptoed around it because I just wanted it to be a real thing and be her. And then she said she wanted to get baptized on her birthday. I was like, oh my gosh. And but again, I wasn't doing it. Like, you want to do it, you got to go talk to Eric. I'm not talking to Eric about it for you. And then she put on her big girl pants because she doesn't like doing stuff like that. And she did. She went and talked to Eric. And just, again, just watching her grow, you know, in that, especially in that first year that we were here, in the production team and the people there that was Ashley Henning, you know, Noah's wife and her, had become like this amazing friendship, and watching that blossom and seeing another woman like her, Ashley, come alongside of Jody and having that, just this beautiful friendship. And then watching her spiritually grow and want to grow. Mm. She was reading the Bible. I couldn't keep up. You know, and she's like reading and she's asking all these questions. And now I have to start reading the Bible again just because of what she's reading. Because now she's I don't know your answers. Like, I'm on academic probation. I'm dumb. So, and I'm a little rusty. So, like, here we are. We're both into this. And then she gets baptized. And just watching that moment, you know, I had to pull what I like to call a Chad Taylor. I started crying. And
I'm not ashamed of it.
And, she came out and she hugged me. And it was just like, man, it was awesome. It was probably just as awesome as our wedding day, honestly.
How was that for you, Jody? Because
it was very special. You know, I was the church I grew up in. I was baptized as a baby, and then confirmed at like 16, which I always thought was kind of like the equivalent of like being rebaptized. But yeah, it was something that it took time because I put this pressure on myself. I think that because I don't, like, know the Bible inside and out, I don't, you know, have all of these deep spiritual thoughts, that somehow like I'm lesser of a Christian than other people. But it was really just getting to that point where now it's your relationship with God. And that's really like what it's all about, and getting to that place and just realizing that and just putting all my faith and trust in him. And and then getting to do that was special. My Jesus year birthday.
Awesome. It was a it was a beautiful moment, and I just wanted to bring it up in this podcast because I remember it, and it was really cool to watch and see. And when you see that, it's an inspiration to others, and we're just excited that we could be part of it. And I know that you're an introverted person, and you're a little quiet.
I'm very
and for you to do that and proclaim that in front of the whole entire church and not do it at a different moment, it meant a lot to be part of it and to see it. So, and knowing you, it's awesome.
Yeah. So. Amen. All right, good talk.
Well, thank you guys. Wonderful to get to know Jody more. I hope that people will come up to you now and ask you all kinds of questions. If you would like Jody to write your name in beautiful calligraphy, just walk up to her with a pen and paper and just say, Jody, my name is so-and-so, and I'd like you to write my name out.
It'll
be gorgeous. She'll do a wonderful job, and she does really well because she could have and should have been a graphic designer.
It's like those Asian people.
She did the tree back in the youth group.
That's
not true. The tree in the youth group was Jody.
Now you got too far.
Take credit for that.